You're listening to Impolite Society with Laura and Rachel.
Let's do it. I'm excited. Oh. This is a crazy, crazy topic.
I know. Ready? Do you want to hear the song that I prepared?
Oh my God, you have a song for it?
The connection is a little bit loose, so let's see if you get it. Ready?
Okay. Okay.
A baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave.
Well, I know it's
the more
Seal.
You get an angel, it seems. I don't know. It's talking about kissing in graves.
And a baby? What?
Why a baby! Not like a human baby, like a sexy baby.
I am a very sexy baby.
Yeah, you know, that kind of baby. The baby you want to put your dick in. Not
Oh, God. So, Kiss from a Rose was the credit end credit songs for Batman Forever, which was Val Kilmer's Batman. I watched that a lot when I was a 12-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Can't say I've ever seen it, but...
Yeah, you're not missing much.
It probably shapes your opinion. Well, I picked this one because it's got a little romance, got a little death. And
romance.
I mean, that's...
Okay,
that's
all
what
right.
we're going to be talking about today. We're getting kind of freaky, we're getting kind of fun, and we're getting kind of sexy. But before we get into all that funness, let's say what show that you're listening to.
Oh, I guess that's important. You are listening to Impolite Society. We have a very impolite topic for you today. I don't think many people talk about this, so this is a fun one. Good call, Rachel.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So we ask the questions that you're too afraid to, or the questions that would not fly in polite society, and then dig into it through research and then our own experiences and, of course, some philosophizing, some musings, as we call it, because that's where we're really – it's where we really excel.
Yeah. Research is always shoddy. We're talking first page of Google results is pretty much what you get with us.
Exactly. So if you want to in-depth talking to sources, that's not us. But we have fun and we bring up topics you might not have heard of or not might be hearing about on other podcasts because I did a search for my research today and I didn't come up with very much. Let's just say that. But before we get into it, I'm going to start by asking Laura, you know, just a kind of light, happy, breezy question to get us started. You ready?
Okay. I'm so ready for this light, breezy question.
Would you care... if somebody had sex with your dead body?
My initial reaction is, yes, I would have a problem with that.
If you knew that after you die, you're not there, you're not using it anymore, it's just a vacant vessel, you still would have a problem if somebody came in and was like, you know what, I want to hit that.
Yes, I would. It's dead body rape is what it is. That dead hunk of cells cannot consent.
Yes, but does it have to? And we're going to get into that. And you've guessed it, folks, if you haven't by now. Yes, we are talking about necrophilia. So we're having a little bit of fun. And Laura's just like, wow.
So fun. So fun.
Well, we said we were talking about taboos. And so we are going to one of the biggest taboos that's still kind of fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's a crazy one. Everyone, you should have seen my face as I was reading like the notes for this podcast. Like this morning, I was like, oh, like my face just got worse and worse and worse as we kept going.
Yeah, it's not happy, fun times. I mean, for some people, I guess. But I woke up early to do this research, so nothing like a healthy dose of necrophilia in the morning.
Good morning.
Yep. But this leads me to my big impolite question for today. Is necrophilia a victimless crime?
I have opinions on this, and I'm going to say no, it is not a victimless crime. That's my hard line in the stands. The sand.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you took a very controversial stance today.
That's what we're all about here on Impolite Society is controversial yep. stances.
Taking the controversial stances.
I think
and I feel
the
like
things that we have also taken a hard line on are pedophilia,
racism, kicking your dog.
Yeah.
Those are all no-nos.
Yeah. These are the hard lines in the sand that we draw here.
Which, and that's funny, I had to phrase it like that because we are supposed to ask each other questions, but... I know a lot of times I kind of take the point counterpoint on this and I like try to argue with you, but this one was hard. I'm not going to try to argue anything. I'm just going to tell you about necrophilia, right?
And there's a lot of stuff to unpack. Apparently, I did not realize how many dimensions there were.
Oh, yeah. You know, you give something as complex as a human and then add in something even more complex as sexuality, yeah, and you're going to get a lot of variables thrown in there. And that was kind of my main takeaway from doing this research, is just like, humans are such complex social animals that when some of those wires aren't synced up right, you get people, I think this was a quote, baking their bread in a cold oven was a quote from something, an author or somebody who had sex with his dead wife.
I'm just going to say, you get a bunch of fucking weirdos. That's...
Yeah, normally I'm like, don't yuck someone's yum, but... Woof. Okay, so let's get into the research. So we've said necrophilia and we've hinted at what it is. If you're sitting there going, I don't know what's, I'm not catching on. If you don't know what it is, it literally means somebody who wants to get down with somebody who's about to be put in the ground or pulled out of the ground. I like to rhyme where I can. It actually, and it's not a new phenomenon. It's the name itself is Greek. It comes from ancient Greece and it means corpse love. So somebody who loves the corpse.
Ugh. Let me just say, this just comes to mind. It's like, you know, we think that we're at the modern society. Oh, we're so corrupt and we're so sick, like a bunch of sickos or weirdos, as my mom would say, or psychos. You know what I mean? Like, this word has been around as long as apparently the Greeks. Yeah. So just... People are people are people are people all throughout time.
And all the different people are all the different kinds of people all want to put their dick in something different, right? Some people want to put it in something normal. Some people. Actually, I'm going to say it's not normal to want to have sex with a dead body. It's categorized as a like dysfunction, a sexual dysfunction. So don't get mad at us. Don't at us. Yeah. Come at the scientists and the psychologists.
You know what? If anyone of necrophiliacs want to come at me, I will fight them.
And they won't know what to do. All you'll have to do is say, I reject you. And then they'll cry home. But we'll get to that later. So when you look up necrophilia stuff, which is best to do in incognito mode, I don't know what kind of ads I'm going to be getting.
Oh, God.
When you look it up, there's kind of two distinctions, right? It's very closely tied to crime, right? So I'm not going to talk about the murder side of it so much just because I feel like that's its own conversation and its own thing. And there's enough necrophilia, there's enough corpse love on its own that we can just dig into all of that goodness.
Loveliness.
Gooey,
yeah.
Loveliness.
That was my first thought. I mean, when you think of necrophilia, you think about all those serial killers, right? That just love to get down on some dead bodies. I listened to a podcast that I really like that has – they do a lot of different topics. But like every like couple weeks, they'll dip into a true crime, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. But I like it because it has just a variety of topics. They talk about political stuff and then, you know, social stuff and then also true crime. So I just like that about it. But necrophilia is a common comeuppance on the true crime side.
Yes, definitely. And I feel like that's a little different than when I think of necrophilia, because that's part of the act of murdering and mutilating, which we will get into a little bit. We're not going to dig into details around, but I consider that all one thing, right? Like that's all a serial, that's all just a murder and somebody enacting that kind of stuff. But
well, because murder is the capital crime there, right? You're not like, oh my God, he had sex with a dead body. You're more like, oh my God, he fucking killed this person.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I mean?
And that's what it comes down to. So we're not going to talk about that so much, but more just about people who have the fascination or desire to sleep with the dead body. So we said it's happened as far back as Greek mythology, but it's also popped up in South America, Greco-Roman period, the Middle Ages, and of course, the modern era. There's stories as like 2000, there's this horrific guy, and he just grave robbed, so I don't know how horrific he is, but he had like a bunch of human dolls he made, and this woman found these bones, or she dug up these bones, and she was using them to pleasure herself. It's interesting. It ranges
faces,
all these times.
Everyone.
Yes.
Faces.
I know. Too bad it's not a visual medium.
It would
just be an hour and 15 minutes of Laura and I going, So yeah, there's they could span time, location, they're everywhere. The one thing that they do have in common is that the vast majority of them are men. According to a study in the research published in the Bulletin of American Academy of Psychiatric and Law, there seems to be more to that title, but it must have got cut off. But according to the study, there are 95% of necrophiliacs, which is what a necrophilia person is called, 95% of them are men.
I'm surprised it's that low. I would have thought of it as like 99% men.
You know?
That was a little bit more shocking.
I don't hate it. Girls got to get her own. Do her thing.
Got to get her bone where she can.
I know. I mean, you haven't been on Tinder, but to be fair, neither have I. But what I hear about Tinder, you can't blame her. Can't blame her.
I didn't see this in your research, but I'm curious. Do you have any statistics on how many people are necrophiliacs? Do you know what I mean? Like 1 in 1,000, 1 in 100,000?
Well, that's a good question. And I was running into that kind of problem when I was looking through it, right? And that goes with why it's so tied closely to the murderer necrophiliacs. And I don't think we have an accurate number because you have to get caught to get included in the statistics, yeah. Right? And I think there's probably a lot of people out there who fall into the lower levels, because there are levels, that fall into the lower levels who we would never know. There's no way to record them.
They're not big on self-identifying, in other words.
I wouldn't be.
No.
I wouldn't be raising my hand like, yes, that's me. I like to give me a stiff. I get stiff for the stiffs. How many puns can I make in this
keep
hour?
Going. I want to hear them all.
Awesome. But not only are they mostly men, right? But necrophilia isn't something that's specific to humans. It happens in the animal kingdom as well. Some of the beautiful, majestic creatures that I saw listed on said Wikipedia page about necrophilia included some lizards and a story about a guy who watched a male duck chase another male duck into a glass window. And then when the one that ran into the window died, the other male duck had sex with
God.
It. So that's just traumatic on so many levels. That was what we call a murderer. That's the Jeffrey Dahmer of ducks. But it raised a question, because I know we like to talk about evolutionary biology. Do you think there's any evolutionary biology that would make it?
No. No. I think that, if anything, it's just maybe someone who's so dumb, or a species that's so dumb, or like the drive to mate is so high that you kind of like ignore that obvious no-no. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is not going to reproduce. This is not going to bring me the continuation of my genes, but I'm overriding it anyway, whether that because I'm so stupid or because I'm so horny.
Well, yeah, and that's what I said, too. It's not exactly like the chimpanzees that are out there doing this. This is lizards and birds, and they're more likely to be running on just, like, that kind of brainstem
pure hormone
stimulation.
Like,
there's no higher thought. Yeah. It's just that lizard went up to a dead lizard or something it perceived as a female lizard, and then it
went at it.
You know, it started the mating did dance, and when it wasn't rejected, it said, "Hell yeah, it's my lucky day." I mean, I've seen a video of a scientist get mated with by a parrot, like jumped on his head and started to mate with
God.
Him. So I'm thinking it's probably just more like a animals who are influenced more by like just responses and you know, that kind of instinct.
Not as much social
like
cue or like, hey, I know you're dead and I'm deciding to move forward anyway.
Yeah, I would say it's more like an evolutionary biology dead end than it is a product of evolutionary biology, because, yeah, you're not getting anywhere with that. That's not going to get you any little babies. Maybe Casper babies, but
maybe some zombie babies. Have you guys seen Dawn of the Dead, the new one where the girl is turned into a zombie? She's pregnant, and then the baby is a zombie. Ugh, it's very upsetting.
Yes, Laura, I have seen.
No,
that.
You haven't.
I haven't. I haven't seen shit. You know this. And that seems ridiculous because the baby is going to be a baby. It's not going to grow up. It's a baby. It's going to be a one baby zombie forever.
They kill it immediately.
That makes sense. I don't know. Who was helping the zombie give birth? The zombie midwives?
No, the human and like crazy, whacked out of his mind human father who's like, no, this is my baby. It's all fucked up. All right. It's a Romero film. It's super fucked up.
Well, I'm glad it made an appearance on the podcast today.
You're welcome.
So if he had wanted to have sex with his zombie wife after she had a baby, in 6 weeks, of course, would that have been necrophilia?
Good question. Yes, because she's technically dead. But also very dangerous. A lot of zombie bitey-bitey. It's a dangerous game to play there. She would still be cold, yeah. I guess. Ew. Ew. Ew!
So now that we had that fun train of thought, let's get into the different levels of necrophiliacs. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? It takes all kinds to make the world go round. And here are the different kinds, the different ways that people like to engage sexually.
Sexually. With my sexuality.
My sexuality. I mean, I'm glad that I would still have it going on if I was dead, you know. I would still want to, you know.
My milkshake brings all the boy to the yard. Damn right. That's better than yours. Okay.
What did you call it? My cellular bloat brings all the boys
it's
to the yard.
Tissue gas. Did I get that? My tissue gas tissue brings gas. All the boys to the yard. Damn right. That's better than yours. Oh, God.
Don't poke me or I'll explode.
Mm-hmm. I heard this story, not from anybody that I worked with, but on a podcast that one of the people that I listened to, he was also in the funeral service, that he went to go pick up a woman who had extreme tissue gas from, like, you know, sitting in a hot house for 24 hours, and her skin just, like, just slipped off of her. Ugh.
Wow. And that was what you thought your calling was, was to go do that.
I never went on the calls. I didn't do the in-person calls. I just did the embalming. Like, bring it to me. I will take care of it.
So what was the most bloated person you saw? Like, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how tissue gassy?
Not really at all. Like, a lot of the ones that I saw, you know, they die at home. They die in nursing homes. You know, they come in freshly refrigerated or freshly dead. But the most decayed person I saw, they had an autopsy done, and I don't know if they were out too long after their autopsy. I assume not. I assume the professionals knew what they were doing and that he was waiting for a period of time before they took him into custody and then refrigerated him. But anyway, they did the whole autopsy. The guy came to us. He was a very large man. And I can say this, like, because I've sliced into him, right? So, I mean, there's significant inches of subcutaneous fat that you can see after you open, you know, make the, well, I didn't make the Y incision, the autopsy, the medical examiner or coroner did the autopsy. But when you open the Y incision, I mean, there's substantial inches of subcutaneous fat. And I kept thinking, I'm like, you could stab this guy and never hit a vital organ. I mean, like 6 inches, you know, you could stab him and never get anywhere. But anyway, he was turning green kind of at the gills.
Oh, God.
And the smell was something to behold. And my embalming partner, now my best friend, had to tap out for a minute because she had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, my goodness. That, oof. Well, thank God people do it, right? But that much weight sounds like a good self-defense mechanism, right? Nothing can...
That's what I think. I'm like, okay, I'm thinking, how many inches do you need to stab me with to get to my vital organs? And I'm thinking, I don't know, pretty thick. You gotta have a pretty long knife to get where you're going.
Yeah, who needs a bulletproof vest? I have fat.
At least against a knife. Bullet, not so much.
Maybe, or teeth, right? But that's a different podcast. That's, oof, cannibalism is also linked to necrophilia a lot. People, if you do one, you do the other, if you're one of those violent people. But let's talk about the different levels of necrophilia.
Okay, okay, back on track.
Yes, we're back. I mean, but I could sit and listen to your stories about your mortuary science days all day long.
I'll save the dead baby one for later.
Don't I? What? This is a light and funny podcast. This
okay,
is a breezy
I'm sorry. Go
one.
Ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so the layers. So at the very top or the very bottom, the lowest rung, right? These are your most harmless, your most innocent necrophiliacs. These are the role players. So these are the folks who, you know, they get aroused when their partners pretend to be dead or lay there like a limp fish or. I describe as any kind of Christian sex.
A sheet with a hole cut in it.
Yes, there's not a lot of movement. Everybody's like really rigid.
Doing your duty to the party.
Yeah. Oh, youth group sex. That's what I should have said. That would have been great. If only I was funnier.
I've read about this where people, I don't know if I've read about that. Maybe urban legend, like, oh, people want you to lay in a bathtub of ice so you're cold, you know, before you get it on. I don't know anybody who's ever done that, but I feel like it's some sort of urban legend or.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the zeitgeist of America.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Some weird sexual kink that no one's actually experienced but heard about.
Yes. And can you imagine? Oh, man.
If somebody I think told me that, I'd be like, no. Mm-mm, sorry.
It's like, how much are you spending on ice? Or how much time do you spend filling up ice cubes?
Yeah, like, that's a lot
get
of
a
money
hobby,
on
man.
Ice. Ice is expensive. It's like $5 a bag, yo.
I know. I don't have any ice in my house right now. We drink our water warm like goddamn Europeans.
Which that reminds me. I need to get you a Christmas gift of ice trays, at least for when I come over.
We're just hedonists over here. We just warm water. Sometimes I leave my beer out and I drink it warm. It goes down easier.
Savage.
All right. So another layer, right, of necrophilia is romantic necrophiliacs. So these are people who want one last romp in the hay with their dearly departed loved ones. So they are so attached to their partner that they want to keep their lover's body with them after their lover has died, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. I think this more of a, like some sort of like bereaved psychosis. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my
yes.
God, I'm just beyond myself. I'm insane with grief. And who knows what crazy shit people might get into or do. Yeah, that's what I think when this one comes to mind.
Yes. And this is where I tried to quote it earlier. So one of the stories that come from ancient Greece is about Herodotus. Oh,
Herodias.
My gosh.
Herodias.
I should have looked it up before. But Herodias is a poet, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Okay. So he alluded that there was a Greek tyrant named, another name, Peander, right? Periander?
Periander is what it looks like.
I learned from playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey that you just put the emphasis in weird-ass places. So it's probably like Periander, something like that. Anyway, so this guy defiled the corpse of his wife after she died because he loved her so much. And he used the metaphor, Periander baked his bread in a cold oven. Womp, womp. I don't know how to respond to
what's
that.
What's the bread baking? I don't like this metaphor. I enjoy food. I would like to keep it separate from necrophilia. Let's not talk about bread baking or necrophilia. I reject your metaphor, Herodias.
Yeah. One time I baked bread with expired yeast and it just never rose.
Yeah.
What's that? Is that like ED? Is that an ED metaphor?
I have also tried to make scones with expired baking powder or baking soda. They were flat as a pancake. I was very disappointed.
Oh, as you know, that you need those chemical reactions to make their
Absolutely.
Baking happen.
Actually,
well, I did a science experiment about baking. So, no. Okay,
did it involve
I did,
a volcano in like the fourth grade?
No, it involved me making like 6 dozen cookies. I did some by the recipe, some with baking soda, some with baking powder, some without either. And I just ate a whole bunch of cookies. And that's why I was a fat kid.
They sound delicious. I love this experiment. Well, this sounds like the best.
A couple
like,
of them were delicious.
For the like threefold like science fair thing. You know,
that 100% that's yeah. what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And the title was How the Cookie Crumbled.
Ah,
I'm just
wordplay, even at a young age.
Do you know what also crumbles?
Dead people?
Yes, the feeling of dead people, which is another kind of necrophiliac, tactical necrophiliac. So people who are aroused by the touch or stroking of a corpse, and they don't actually have sex with it. They just want to like, do some heavy petting.
I feel like that's just like the first stage. Do you know what I mean? I feel like not a lot of people hover here on tactile necrophilia. I feel like this is just like step one. You know what I mean?
Well, I get that. I think there's definitely some, it might be enough for some people, but if we're talking step one, I would say step one is necrophiliac fantasies.
Okay.
These are people who have fantasies about having sex with a dead person, but they don't actually interact with corpses. So that's just a necrophiliac who doesn't have access, right? Let's just be real.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk victimless crime, I feel like whatever goes on in your head, that's not impacting any real world scenarios. So, you know, if every once in a while you think, ooh, that's fucked up, that's kinky, I'm into it. Okay, fine. Keep those thoughts to yourself. And
or to your fan fiction that you post online.
Exactly. Go that route.
Yeah. Don't enact it unless there's a consenting adult, which I don't know how you can consent if you're dead. So there's also fetishist necrophiliac. So people who, oh, this is going to be, you know, very appetizing and lovely sounding. People who remove objects, for example, panties or a tampon or body parts from a corpse for sexual purposes. So they don't have sex with them. They just either take like their earlobe because that's a very sexy part of the body, or they take their underwears or tampon.
Again, I feel like this is another like stopping point on the way to full-fledged.
Well, yeah, the levels. You're climbing your ladder.
Yeah.
You're climbing.
Yeah.
You're getting higher on it.
Yeah. And how many people die with a tampon in them? I'm just like thinking about that. Like, because, you know, most people who die are generally older. And like, what are the odds of a woman, you know, of menstruating age dying at the moment she has a tampon in? That's an interesting thought that I don't really want to go down that road. And if, you know what, when and if I die, no, when I die, and if I die.
If I die. Nope, Laura's the one human that's going to live forever. She is eternal. She'll be doing Impolite Society 10,000 years from now. And it'll be, what's a necrophiliac that does a podcast with a dead body? Because that's me over here. I'm dead.
Okay, when I die, and if I die prematurely before my, you know, fantasizing about my 90-year-old death in bed when I'm sleeping and no longer menstruating, I hope that I don't die with a tampon in me. I don't know why, but that was my first thought. I don't know.
It's a sad thought, man.
It is. I don't know why, but it is.
Or the, like, do they just leave it in there? Or you were a mortuary science. Was that part of the curriculum?
I've never.
If you find a
No, that was never.
Were you supposed to investigate that situation either or no?
No, that was never part of their curriculum. To be fair, I did not finish my last semester, but my best friend did, and I don't remember a conversation about tampons. I have heard stories, though this was never taught, but again, I did leave one semester short about some mortuaries do like plug up the anus before
viewing. So you don't poop at your funeral?
Yeah, but the ones, the funeral homes that I were at, they never did that. That was not common practice. So maybe when you're putting in your rectum barrier, you're also checking for tampons. I don't know. We never fiddled with that area. The closest that I ever got was, you know, getting to the what's the artery? Femoral artery. Was getting to the femoral artery in your upper thigh. That was the closest I ever got to that. And then also being trained on how to take out a catheter.
Oh, okay.
Dead bodies that come from the hospital will often have a catheter.
So, but if you were ever getting into that artery and you were like moving stuff around and you saw like a little string hanging out of a woman, would you have been like, let me get that out for you, girl? Like, you don't need to take that.
I don't even know what I would have done. I would have been like,
you don't need that in the afterlife.
I would have gone to the director like, help me. I don't know what to
do. Get it out of there. Yeah. Eye of the needle and whatnot and camels and tampons. You can't fit them through. So she doesn't need it in the afterlife. Get it out of there.
I think the eye of the needle and the camel is have to do with wealth and not tampons.
Worldly possession.
Yeah, not tampons. Though I guess tampon could be considered a worldly possession because I am either thankful way. I have them.
Not a way, and they should be free, and not a way that I would want to go and meet Peter at the pearly gates.
With your rotten tampon, your leaking tampon at the pearly gates.
Oh, God. Your little white angel gown.
Like, I'm sorry, Peter. Is there a ladies' room I could go to?
The next one is another big word. It's a necromutilomaniacs. So say that five times real fast.
Necromutilomaniacs. I'm only going to say it once.
Yeah, you don't want to say it any more than that. They might show up like Beetlejuice. These are people who derive pleasure from mutilating a corpse while masturbating without actually having sex with the corpse.
Ugh.
So again, this is very like closely tied in with murderers, the people who actually seek out a person and kill them to be able to enact these kind of things on.
Yeah, I feel like this is not a ring like on the ladder to true necrophilia. You know, we're talking about the own spring. Yeah, the role players, the fantasizers, the fetishistic. I feel like this is its own thing for sure.
Definitely. And then if we're going to talk back about that ladder, though, I think kind of the next rung is we're working our way up from fantasizing to role playing to touching to taking objects. The next one is an opportunistic necrophiliac. So these are people, well, maybe I guess I should read the definition before I start speculating. These are people who don't normally want to have sex with a dead person, but they take an opportunity when it arises. I mean, like, how could you pass that up, right? But Jesus. Apparently this is something that's been in people's head for so long because in ancient Egypt, the dressers of the body would actually let beautiful women decay for 3 to 4 days before giving them to the embalmers because they didn't want the embalmers to get any ideas about these beautiful women that are laying on their slabs.
Ugh. I mean, I feel like this has got to come from... I don't know if this is right or not. My first thought is this has to come from some super repressed ass cultures to be like, oh, this person's dead, but she looks fresh and I can pretend that she's alive. Gah. I guess that's my first thought of an opportunity. If somebody would see this as an opportunity, they've got to be really fucking repressed.
Yeah, or just like not getting it anywhere else or just very spiteful against the opposite gender or the gender that they want to have sex with. Because I feel like you have to get past a breaking point to be like, oh, well, fuck all the living bones of this gender that I prefer. I'll just take this dead person because they happen to be there.
That's definitely broken. I agree.
Yes. I like eating. You and I like eating. We talk about that all the time.
I love to eat.
Give me a sandwich, like right now. But I love to eat. But if I saw like a moldy sandwich or a sandwich on the ground, I wouldn't eat the sandwich, you know?
Same. I would not eat a moldy sandwich or a sandwich on the ground. However,
it still looks like a sandwich. It smells like a sandwich.
I don't know.
But it's not a sandwich I would eat.
I've got some pretty shameful tales about food that I'm not sure that I'm ready to share. Pause.
Are we pausing for real?
No, I'm just like, I'm not going to share that one. I'm going to keep that one in my back pocket for future episodes about one of my most shameful food stories. Anyhoodle. Yeah, I've got a lot of shameful food stories, but none of them...
Oh, I got a good one, too. I can't wait for that episode.
We're getting really off track. Where was my train of thought here?
Would you eat the sandwich?
I would not eat a moldy sandwich or the sandwich on the ground. However, I may have taken something I have freshly thrown out of the trash. And, you know, it's sitting on the top all nice. You haven't seen that Seinfeld episode where George eats the eclair that's just sitting right on top?
I think I've taken food out from other people. Yeah, that other people have thrown away. Like, if it's a bunch of it together. You don't take the one that's on the bottom?
No.
Oh, yeah. My God. This is really...
This is not... Well, I mean, related to necrophilia, right? So, like, it's
this is vulnerability corner right here. Let's talk about our worst moments.
So the episode of Seinfeld, like, George is at some party and there's just like a fresh eclair. Like, you know, it's with his, I think it's with his fiance's family. So there's not like a bunch of weirdos. You don't know where the hell their mouth has been. And there's just like a perfect eclair just like sitting right on top. And he's like, and he picks it up and eats it. And somebody comes in and it's like, oh, God. And I'm like, eh. I can see it. I will defend my position by saying a blue checkmarked celebrity known as Rebel Wilson had a Instagram story about like, hey, you want to get rid of your holiday treats? You dump them in the trash and then you take dish soap and you pour it on top of them so you can't come out and get it. And I'm like, yeah, I've used that trick before. So in relating to me to necrophiliacs, I guess I've been there. I don't know.
We're blowing the lid off this. She's been tempted by the fruit that's rotten.
Tempted by the fruit of another. You probably don't even know that song, do you?
I do know that. Tempted by the fruit in the trash can. That's where we're at. So we talked about the different kinds. We got a couple different kinds. Some weird, really weird, like the necromutilomaniacs, the fetishists, the tactile. I bet you're going to be very relieved to hear that there's also regular necrophiliacs. So these are just people who just, they just prefer intercourse with the dead. They're normal. They're regular.
That's the top tier of the ladder. It's just like, I've gotten there. I'm a regular necrophiliac. I just like to bow some dead people.
Or is it a necrophiliac who eats their daily dose of fiber, maybe?
So regular.
So then there's also the homicidal necrophiliacs, right? So these are the necrosadists. So these are people who murder someone in order to have sex with their dead body. So product killers, right? Ugh. More so like, I need a dead body, but I don't work in a morgue. I'm not going to 2 years at the community college. I just gotta, you know... Right now, get that person off the street, murder them dead, and then have sex with their neck stump.
I feel like the sadism, the necrosadist, like the foreplay might be the actual killing, right? So it's not like, yes. I just want to have sex with a person and I have to create my own. It's like pleasure is incurred by the murder and the infliction of pain.
Yes, definitely. And then as I like unfurl the petals of the flower to learn about how this ties into...
Don't talk about the beautiful flower in relation to the necrophiliacs.
It's a wilted flower.
Oh, the dead wilted rose flower.
But the petals are just as soft. Anyway. So they can actually categorize it. So you could take the necrophiliacs that are the murderers or the violent ones, and you can sort them into... based on two criteria, whether they're warm or cold.
Ugh.
So how long, I know. How long are they willing to have sex with the body? Some of them, you know, the ones who are the murderers and the sadists who then continue doing stuff after, they're warm. And I almost categorize that as something different. I almost exclusively think of necrophiliacs as cold or a body that's been dead for more than 2 hours. If you're having sex with a body that's been dead for less than 2 hours, you're still just a sadist who's like enjoying mutilating a person. Anyways, I didn't want to get that heavy with it, but... Then there's also destructive and preservative, right? So people who it depends on how they treat the body. Some keep them around and take care of them. One of the articles I read was about a case study, and this killer would bathe them and take care of them and dress them, and even like tried to separate himself from the victim by saying like, I was pretending that somebody else killed them and I was just taking care of them. Which is all kinds of fucked up.
Yeah. Like, that's actually, that's actually kind of sad. You know what I mean? Like, you're so fucked up in the head that you're trying to disassociate yourself from the action you took, from the further fucked up action you're taking. Oh my God. The amount of mental gymnastics that might take place in order to do that, I can't even imagine. Ugh. I don't want to imagine.
It's somebody who's very, very broken. But then destructive are the people who they enjoying like taking apart the person, which is just like
Jack the Ripper style.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he did that when they were alive-ish. So I, who
did
knows?
They? I don't know.
I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
This is a true crime podcast. If you want that, go listen to the 1,000 other white women drinking wine talking about true crime. Literally, I can't throw a rock without hitting a white woman talking about true crime.
Well, I've just looked it up. Was Jack the Ripper a necrophiliac? There isn't. This is from, again, first page Google results. There isn't any evidence for a necrophiliac Jack the Ripper.
He just wanted to gore women for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm not going to categorize one. They're not better or worse. They're all just equally fucked up.
Well, I will say that I think there is some hierarchy here. If you're murdering someone to have sex with a dead body, you're the worst one.
Oh, well,
if you're
yeah.
digging up a dead body, oh, you're yeah. probably a little less worse.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. That goes without saying, I feel like.
Okay. And then the final type, because we've spent like 30 minutes talking just about the types.
Okay. Oh, God.
Exclusive necrophiliacs. These are the queen bees, the, what do you call it? Like, they are the top rung. They are the people who only have interest in sex with the dead and cannot perform for a living partner.
Yeah, I'm exclusive necrophiliac, so I am not interested.
Okay, so these layers, these levels, all throughout history, it got me wondering, why the fuck does anybody want to have sex with a dead body? Of all the things to be having sex with. To go straight to dead bodies, I don't know. I wanted to understand what was causing it.
Okay.
And there was two major things I saw in my research. One I agreed with more than the other. This is the first one and the one I don't agree with so much. So I saw several articles that talked about the sadomasochism of necrophilia, right? It's a sadistic act to have sex with a dead body because you are having complete control over another human, mm-hmm. or should I say human-looking lump of cells.
Yeah.
You have complete control over them. They're completely helpless against you. You can do whatever you want with them. You also are completely dominant, right? And there's no part of this control that you can't have, right? So if you have somebody who's alive, their spirit, their mind, it could all be free. You can't control those pieces. But with a dead body, you can project onto it, like we talked about, that they're happy to be with you. They're enjoying what's happening, or they love you, which is fucking sad as I say it out loud. Jesus Christ, that's a downer. And this ties to a lot of the serial killers that you see and you hear about as being necrophiliacs. What are your thoughts?
Sad. Like you said, sad.
To me, it doesn't ring so much true because I feel like these are probably the minority. I mean, on my deep research to Wikipedia, I saw a long, long list of necrophiliacs, and a lot of them were serial murderers. And I feel like that's just because that's what's sexy. That's what gets your attention, mm-hmm. right? But there's got to be tons of people that you never hear about who are never caught who fall into the more... trying to get their partners to lay still when they have sex with them yeah. or, you know, fantasizing about it. These things that cross their minds. And in that case, I don't think it's sadistic or masochistic because you're not really inflicting pain. A dead body can't feel pain.
Yeah.
And that I feel like that's a major component. You want a reaction. You want the give and take, even though it's not like consensual, you want, or I guess it could be if you have certain thing. I'm walking the PC line. People can't engage in these kind of things. BDSM, right? The SM stands for sadomasochism. Mm-hmm. People can engage in it consentingly. But I would imagine all those dudes and women who are involved in that world don't want to be having sex with a dead body. And I feel like it gets them a bum rap because it's saying like, oh, this is just a part of BDSM, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it's vastly different. And they will tell you, I'm sure as well, that a dead body is not, it's not the same as engaging with a living person. And I can't imagine it being the same enjoyment either for that.
If you're into domination, like you, in order to dominate something, they have to be, you know, of a semi-cognizant ability. Like that, I feel like in the BDSM world, that's got to be part of the thrill, right? Like you are a living, you yes. know, breathing person with a choice and I am dominating you. You know, that's, I feel like that's got to be part of the thrill. So I do feel like it's probably separate, but I mean, I think maybe this comes to that serial killer type of like, it's what happens beforehand, right?
Yes. Where it's a continuation, where it's like a disgrace. And that was something I learned in my research today, that there was King Herod, I believe. So we're getting biblical, going back to that youth group. there was a woman who killed herself because she didn't want to marry him and be his like third wife. I believe it actually might be she might actually be a saint. But anyways, after he killed her for not marry, or after she killed herself, she didn't want to marry him. He kept her body in honey so that he could have sex with it as a way of being like, well, ha ha ha, you can't escape me. Yeah. So I think in that kind of situation, it is about domination. But I think that that's more, that's almost different than just being like, oh, there's something arousing about the way that that person's cells are farting. I'm sorry, I keep going back to it because we're disgusting in life and we're disgusting in death.
That's
and life
where the
is
tissue
disgusting.
Death comes from, is farting cells. That's exactly what it is. It builds up under the skin.
Yes. Nothing about life is pretty. We're all just living a charade. But I agree with you that it does not seem to be accurate for that. What I think is more on target for necrophiliacs, which is what I saw in other research that I looked into, was that people who do this are looking for a partner. They are wanting a partner who literally cannot reject them. And a study on the Wikipedia, the source, the citing was not, the link was broken. So sorry about that.
So but super legit.
100%. They talked to the necrophiliacs, I guess, at the Necrophiliacs Anonymous meeting.
And NA.
they asked them. No, NA.
Not applicable.
Don't talk about it. But they asked them, and the motivation that it came out in 68% of the respondents, they were looking for someone who couldn't resist them or not, who couldn't reject them. Right. I mean, there was other sources mixed into them, and they could feel more than one source, too. But that was the majority, I think, by a lot.
Yeah.
And it just comes from, like, learning that necrophiliacs develop poor self-esteem, perhaps, in fact, due to a significant loss. Right. So they're fearful of a rejection by others, and they desire a partner who is incapable of rejecting them. Or they're fearful of the dead, right? This is another kind of flip it on the head. They're fearful of dead, and they've transformed the fear by means of rejection formation into desire, right? So it's like, I'm scared of dying. I can't comprehend death. Like we talked about, we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to like opposites attract it into being something that gets my Willie whistling. That's not even a saying.
I feel like that last one is bullshit. More on the first one is the fearful of rejection. Like you can't reject me. Let me get my jollies where I can. That last one feels a little bit like reaching to me. I'm fearful of the dead, so I'm gonna reclaim my livingness by having sex with the dead. I mean, I like I said, a lot of people perform mental gymnastics, but I feel like that one might be a stretch. It's that first one that I feel like is probably more on target.
Definitely the most applicable, because we're not going through our lives taking these existential higher meaning things that are motivating us. We are reacting to our own experiences that we've had. And being rejected sucks, and it hurts. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you are in a space where that's enough to damage you that much, maybe that could lead you down this path.
Yeah.
But it still would have to be really bad. I think there's also probably some screws loose there.
Yeah. Some mental illness at the core of all that.
If I do say so myself, there's something else going on. But I also learned something interesting during this research and in these same studies, that this motivation to have sex with the dead was also linked to profession. Mm. So 57% of the genuine necrophiliacs that they talked to in the survey by the Bulletin of American Academy of Psychiatric and Law, 57 of them had occupational access to corpses, such as being a morgue attendant, somebody who worked at funeral homes, somebody who worked at a cemetery, and This got me thinking, is this a chicken or an egg situation? Or are people who wanting to have sex with corpses drawn to this profession? Or is it that when you're around dead bodies and maybe you're seeing a, you know, a dead nipple every once in a while, or you start to think, oh, I'm alone in this room with this body. Is that what kind of plants the seed that gets the fantasy going?
That's a really good question. I have no idea. But yeah, 57%. So that's more than half. I don't know, man. Maybe a mixture of the two. Maybe some people are drawn to the profession because of that. And then some people, it's more of a, quote, crime of opportunity. You know, I have no idea.
You got to let your hotties Roddies.
Oh, God.
And again, rhyming.
It's more rhymes. Lowest,
it's the lowest level of literary device. And I aim to please the masses.
I guess when it comes to chicken or egg, I think about pornography, right? Like, do people seek out pornography of the things they are interested in? Or I think it's starts that way, right?
Yes.
And then it leads somewhere. You know, you have these like pop-ups that come out. Oh, are you interested in this or that or this or that?
And oh, then definitely.
And then you start going down a rabbit hole, like the YouTube rabbit hole that I go down when I Google, you know, Tom Cruise's teeth, you know, and I start to run down that.
What is going on with his teeth?
He's got weird teeth. Anyway, but you start to go down a rabbit hole and you end up somewhere and you're like, oh, is this what I'm into now? You know what I mean? Like if you yes. were to apply this to pornography. So I think there are some people who get into the profession because they want access, and the majority maybe just because they got those suggested videos on their YouTube.
I don't know
accounts.
If like Pornhub is just suggested.
I don't know.
Necrophilia.
I don't.
I actually am not sure about the legality of any of that. But I will say that it is not a federal offense to have sex with a body.
It's not.
You know your states. States' rights, baby. But know your state laws before you engage in any necrophiliac activities.
What does Missouri say? Do you know?
It's a felony because we don't want you having sex with anybody, male, female, animal, dead body. There's no sex. This is God's country. No sex. It's funny that you said that some people come to the profession because they have this kind of predisposition mm-hmm. already inside of them. I'm so curious. Did you suspect anybody in the class or anybody that you met, mortuary people? Was there anybody who gave you kind of a weird feeling while you were studying?
There was a lot of people who gave me a weird feeling, but it was not necrophilia related. There was just a lot of fucking weirdos in there, as you can imagine. You know, I would say the large percentage was normal. That's, again, where I met my best friend ever. But there was definitely some people who gave me the wigs in there. There was this guy, and I'm sure he was a nice guy. I mean, he was a preacher, you know, and he was married, oh, and he also, you know, was a full-time.
Red flags.
He was he worked at a funeral home and then decided to go get his license. And I'm sure he was a nice guy, but something about him just weirded me out. He had those serial killer glasses, you know, like the 1980s, like ones with the, like the arch in between. And
isn't
and
that like the Ted Bundy?
Yeah.
Is that the one who had those?
I feel like a lot of people, like if you
again,
look up.
Not a true crime podcast.
If you look him up, like you'll find those serial killer glasses. Like he wore those in the Daily. And I worked closely with him at the funeral home. And there was this thing that he would do. He would whistle. And it was only I only saw him do it when they were very like when he was doing a particularly unpleasant task. And which makes me think that like that was like a coping mechanism. Like my logical brain says that's a coping mechanism. Like he would whistle as he did unpleasant things, but it was just unnerving. And there was just something about him that just gave me the wigs. And there were several people that were just awkward and strange. And not to mention what I thought was a semi-sadistic professor that ran the whole damn program. That guy was a piece of work.
Well, they probably got off on and making the students' lives miserable.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe not so much diddling the bodies.
Absolutely. That guy definitely got his jollies off making people miserable. Yeah, so nothing specifically related to necrophilia, but yeah, people definitely gave me the wigs.
Just to clarify, it is the main man necrophiliac himself, Jeffrey Dahmer, who has the glasses, like is the quintessential glasses guy.
Got it.
So full circle, we're tying the knot there. Did they ever address it? Was there any kind of like... You might be, if you're feeling like you want to bone this body,
no.
Call this helpline.
No, that was never a part of the curriculum. It was never touched on, and not in a million years. I guess the closest thing, no, I don't even think this is close, but at one point we did talk about like dressing a dead body appropriately. Our professor did tell a story about how there was a case study or a scenario. I don't remember if it was something that he experienced. But, you know, at a funeral home, they wanted this woman dressed in like a negligee. And he's like, no, like you don't want to do that. You're going to get such a bad reputation. Like, it doesn't matter if that's what the family wants. Like, as a funeral home, as a business, we don't want the public to be, you know, aghast at this and to see this woman laying in a casket in a negligee. You know?
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
They also want her, like, her mouth open.
Like... oh, God. But the middle ground they came to was like, okay, she's going to wear, like, a camisole underneath and then wear the negligee. Like
oh,
that.
So they just wanted, like, nipples out.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's an embalming question.
Okay.
Would you have to, like, do something to make the nipples erect, or would they just...
I don't remember. That's a good question.
Thank you. I'm full of really astute questions about sexy dead bodies.
Like I said, I think most of the bodies that we got were old, and I don't specifically remember breasts or nipples, but I'm thinking... I
would be concerned if you did.
I would think... I think I would have noticed if they were erect, so I'm pretty sure that they were, you know, flat and normal, and embalming did not... perk them up or anything, because you know that's it's not, I don't think it's just about, well, it is about blood flow, and there is no blood flow when you're embalming. All you're doing is just replacing blood with embalming fluid, and so you're not engorging anything. You're doing like the normal capillary volume, you know. So I don't remember nipple specifics, but my guess is going to be no, there will be no erect nipples.
So you would probably want that if you're going to be wearing a negligee. Also, like, pull them up a little bit. Like, cutting into them. Like, give it a little yank and a sew. And
give it a lift.
Make it look like I'm 20 again. Come on, I'm dead. Do me a favor.
That would be hard, man. I mean, to even, like, hide that in, like, your armpits. I'm, like, looking at myself, like, trying to pull my boobs up, like, by the
flesh. Hey, surgeons do it.
Surgeons do it. Yeah, I'm not embalmers are not surgeons. I can tell you that.
Well, you don't have to be that good because doesn't matter. They're already dead.
You gotta hide the stitch at least, right? And that's hard to hide.
I guess if you're wearing a negligee, there's not a lot
exactly.
of coverage.
Exactly.
Makeup. There's makeup. Okay, so we danced around this the whole conversation, right?
Uh-huh.
Necrophilia. Bodies, people, death. When it comes down to it, are dead bodies people or are they inanimate objects?
I don't think it's that clear cut. I think they're not one or the other because they're definitely not people, right?
I know. And I knew you were going to do that. That's the middle ground thing. So if you had to pick only two options, line in the sand that you got to draw earlier today, objects or people?
People.
Interesting.
To be treated as people as best you can. That's if I were forced to choose, I'm going to err on the side of people.
Which would mean necrophilia is a crime because you are forcing yourself on a person. No, I would say... a dead body is not a person. A person is somebody who is living, who has agency. I would, if I had to draw, you know, I drew the fucking line in the sand and now I got to abide by it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say object. But it's the meaning of the object to living people where the problem comes in, right?
I think that, yeah, that's exactly where I drew my line as well. It's not so much what is there. It's the attachments that it has in the living world, right?
Exactly.
There are people who love that person it was, and this is the only thing that they have left. And I mean, I guess you could make that same object for object. Like, once a person is dead and gone and their body remains, it's their loved ones who decide what to do with it. So if we're talking about legally, you know, in terms of agency and about rights, the family decides what to do with that person in death, right?
Yeah.
But I think we're driving towards the same thing, is that the value of a person's remains or remains lie in the value that of the people around them and what they attribute to the remains.
But does a person's wishes supersede their family's desires after they've died? That might be a question for a different day.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to feed into my next question. Okay. Could we potentially have saved lives, right? So if, you know, we agree that it's based on the people who are left behind, the survivors, and the value that they put on it, right? So if we have a family heirloom ottoman or whatever, it's an object, but I don't want anybody fucking that object.
Fair.
Right? But if somebody could decide it in their will, or somebody could, family could make the call, could we potentially save lives of the people that these necrophiles who are like committing murder, could we save lives by giving them a dead body in the place of pulling people off the street?
No, I do not believe that this is true, because again, back to my pornography analogy, are there many people who are like, oh man, I thought I wanted to have sex, but then I was just happy with watching other people have sex on videos. You know what I mean? Like, they're if you are driven to kill, because I think based on our types of necrophilia, there are levels or rungs, and I feel like not everyone who's attracted to a dead body is also going to commit murder to create a dead body. So the people who really want to kill somebody, this is not going to scratch their itch, so to speak, that they will still make their way to it, you know?
Yeah, that's 100% fair, and I agree with that. I was thinking that through. As we talked about the rungs, that there is, I think, a divider between the people who just want to have sex with a dead body and a person who's going to kill somebody and mutilate them and do all this horrible stuff to them. All we would do if we had that kind of service, right, where you could donate your body to necrophiliacs.
Who the hell would do? No, some people would do that. We've talked about how fucked up humans are. Somebody would do that.
People have signed up to be cannibalized. Like, people have... They found people and then they go there to be killed and eaten.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, what kind of sexual gratification could you get out of that?
In death. Like, who knows?
It's insane. It makes your stomach churn.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. So somebody might sign up for it. But anyways, but those people, if we gave them a dead body to have their way with, all we would be doing is saving them some cardio from digging up their own dead bodies. Which
I
is
completely
like,
agree. And with possibly
the obesity epidemic. We need it. Everybody should be out digging every day.
Well, and also, I think it might just even stoke the fire more. Again, back to my pornography. Like, it's just like, ooh, this was great. Imagine how much better it would be if I killed this person. You know what I mean? Like, if I went the next step further.
Yeah, but to me, I don't think that's a next step. That's like saying that it's like kind of a slippery slope, which is not a valid rhetorical argument.
I use it all the time.
Well, it's not. According to my communication theory professor, or my persuasion theory, it's not a good argument. That's the people who say, oh, we let two men get married. What's next? A man and a goat getting married? It's not the same.
That's not a slippery slope, because I agree with that inherent principle of slippery slopeness. I like my
slippery dippity dop.
Yeah, exactly. Because one argument involves two cognizant, consenting humans, and the other does not. So that's not a slippery slope. There
but on the
are other
same
areas.
Line of thinking. If I want to have sex with a dead body, that doesn't make me want to kill someone. You know, like
No. I hear what you're saying. But if you're a person who's already like your ultimate goal, you're what really gets your jollies off is that type, the
The dead type?
No, the different kind that we type that we talked about, the homicidal necrophiliacs or the sadomasochistic necrophilias or necrosadists, that's what we call it. If that's really who you are at the core and you give them the next inch, you're not going to be satisfied with that. That might even further stoke the fire of that necrosadism rather than keeping it tamped down where it should be tamped down. You're more giving them an outlet, but that outlet inevitably leads to I need more, because again, just like pornography, like you click on one thing and you're like, okay, this was exciting for a while, what's the next thing?
Yeah, but that's not a slippery slope, as in like if I see some horrific pornography, it's not like I set out to see that, it's just the novelty seeking. And if you're, I think if we said that there's a difference between people who will kill to have sex with a dead body and people who just want to have sex with dead bodies, I don't think that giving, and I think the majority, as we pointed out, is just people who can't say no to them, right? If you give them a dead body, I don't think it's going to escalate to the point where they're killing people.
Okay.
I think that, yeah, it's going to escalate to the point that they might be digging up bodies, right?
Okay.
But at the their thing isn't killing people. It's having sex with dead people.
Yeah,
people who
okay,
are already dead.
Fine. But why do I want to give my body to that person to have sex? Fuck you. You can go do something else. I shouldn't give you my body, or my family shouldn't give you my body just because you can come the way you want you to come. Go fuck off. Go do whatever you want to do.
This is kind of a moot point because it's like, you know, who the fuck would do that except for people who have like interesting kinks that they just want to explore in the afterlife.
Who knows? Yeah.
But yes. No, I don't think anybody would do that. We went down a weird rabbit hole of how this would escalate. The moral of the story is necrophilia a victimless crime? Not to the body, the dead person, but to the people who don't want their loved one being fucked.
Yeah.
As much as it took an hour conversation to get here, or an hour plus conversation to get here, nobody wants their grandma or their parents. Okay, I'm going to say grandma because it's mostly men. Sorry, men.
Mm-hmm. No,
you
no,
wanted
sorry.
Your moment
95%.
In the sun.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. What about men? Your necrophiliacs. Anyways, my grandma or my mom or my great aunt or whatever, like, I don't want them
defiled.
Yes, their body or their memory. And those are so closely tied together.
Exactly. So, no, I don't think it is a victimless crime. I think that, okay, so best case scenario, you have ascended this world into heaven or into the afterlife of some kind, and you don't necessarily care what's going on down below, right? You're
I'm
above
in paradise.
All that now.
Get fucked. You
exactly.
Stupid suffering people.
Exactly. So you've ascended. This is the best case scenario. And all that's left on the planet Earth are the people who loved you and love what is left. The only thing that they have to hold on to, which is their body, which is why we have funerals in the first place, which is so people can say goodbye, people to pay their respects with the only thing that they have left. Because everyone in this world is loved. Nobody wants their loved one to have their remains defiled by some stranger who just wants to get their kinks off.
Yep, I think that's about all there is to say on that, honestly. But also, like, if you feel you want to have sex with a dead body, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a professional, but you should probably talk to somebody who is, because something is wrong.
Yes, something has gone haywire.
And this is what led me down, because like looking at the animals who have sex with dead animals and then the people who do, it's not even in the same ballpark, because the animals is just, they're going through their natural process and it just happens to accidentally, it's a mistake. It's a whoopsie.
It ran into a dead body.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, okay. But with humans, it's so much more complex than that, because we are social animals. And it's just like, it's incredible. Humans always amaze me as a species. Like what we do, how we interact, it's bonkers. And this is just one of those kind of like, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So we do all this amazing stuff, but as a payoff, we have some of us that want to have sex with dead people.
I think that's 100% right, is that people are capable of such beauty and grace and such terrible, horrific things. That's
yes.
the spectrum. And necrophilia falls on the lower end of that scale.
Definitely. Well, not as bad as actually murdering people or like genocide, but it's not on the front end, that's for sure. And I think at that point we got to call it, because how much more can we talk about necrophilia?
Fair.
I've already felt like dry heaving.
Several times. Yeah. And thank you for listening, guys. If you listened to us talk about necrophilia for the last hour plus, thank you.
No, Laura, at this point, you're welcome for talking about necrophilia for an hour plus. You're welcome. We're happy to provide the service for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you to all of our followers on Instagram and Facebook. We appreciate you following us on those platforms. You're the best. Thank you for listening. Thank you for engaging with us. This is a lot of fun for us to do, so it's just amazing that anybody else cares.
I love it. It's honestly one of the highlights of my week.
Yay, me too. And it doesn't matter if you don't, because we'll keep making these. Until
it doesn't matter. We'll keep doing it.
Until somebody finds us. Until then, keep your legs crossed in your casket. What's that? I think I hear the drums.
Oh, is that them? I feel like they've been playing for a while.
No! This was quality content. Okay, we're done.
Bye.
Bye.